And now for our New Testament reading, which comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and he will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying this colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they placed their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who is coming for the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out into Bethany with the 12. This is the word of our Lord. Here it is, Palm Sunday again, as we hear the very familiar story of Jesus riding the royal donkey through the gates of Jerusalem, and there are masses of people on both sides of him. They are waving their palms in the air, and they're shouting their hosannas. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. As the crowds praise him and they greet him, they lay their palm branches and their cloaks down on the road so as to create a carpet of welcome for him. And as they do lay these things down, the symbolism behind this action portrays a far deeper message than just simply creating a carpet of welcome. Many people think that the palm branches that were used to greet Christ and to praise him were utilized because there was an overabundance of palm branches in that part of the world. But there are several other significant reasons as to why they chose to lay those palm branches down at Christ's feet that day. The palm branch was the emblem of Judea and appeared on the coins of the land, symbolizing one of the country's riches. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem and the people covered his pathway with palm branches, they were actually offering a symbol of great value and a symbol of the riches of their land to him. Palms were also a symbol of necessity. To the Jews, the palm branches represented a gift from God because of their many uses in people's lives. The date palm supplied dates. The coconut palm supplied coconuts and coconut milk. The sap of the sugar palm was dried and beaten and ground into a very fine sugar. Its leaves could be boiled down and eaten as vegetables. The trunk of the sago palm was ground into flour and used for unleavened bread. Palm oil was used to make both butter and soap. Palm trees had almost no waste particles. Their coarse fiber was used to make brooms and mats and baskets. Their fine fiber was used for thread, and their most coarse fiber was used as strong ropes. Bowls, cooking utensils, even tools were made from the coconut shells. The seeds of palms were dried for a very long time, and they were later used as durable beads for jewelry making. Even the palm's flowers could be used. They were made into perfume, where the women would wear them as decorative headdresses. So placing these palm branches at Jesus' feet that day then carried a wide range of meaning, and it conveyed a far deeper message than simply creating a carpet of welcome with the overabundant palm branches. Their actions symbolized laying down both the necessities and luxuries of life at Christ's feet. It symbolized denouncing the riches of their land as they fully invested themselves in Christ. Ultimately, what it symbolized was a deep level of commitment and trust in Christ with all aspects of their life. The people that gathered there at the gates of Jerusalem to greet Jesus and to praise him that morning, they loved him and they honored him, and they showed their love and their adoration by waving the palm branches. They showed their level of commitment and trust in him by lining his pathway with something that was a very important part of their everyday living, something that symbolized great wealth. But we know that in just a short span of 5 days, those same people that had laid down the necessities and luxuries of life at Christ's feet, those same people that had committed or demonstrated a deep level of commitment and trust in Christ, were the same ones to later denounce him as they shouted, "Crucify him." Bible commentators often note that both crowds, those that were waving their palms and shouting their hosannas when Jesus entered Jerusalem, were in part the same ones who gathered to witness the crucifixion of Christ. With just a few short days separating those two events, the crowds had gone from shouting, "Hosanna in the highest," to shouting, "Crucify him," as they demanded that Pontius Pilate free the notorious criminal Barabbas instead of Jesus. The crowds who had joined in praising Christ one day had joined in the call of crucifixion a few days later. They even jeered him as he died. My question for us today is, how often are we those same fickle people found in those crowds? At what points in our lives do we wave our palms of praise one day, only to later reject Christ, to denounce or revoke our commitment and trust in him? There are certain times in our lives when it's easy to greet and praise Christ. It is easy to feel and express our deep level of commitment and trust in him when things are going well for us, or when things are clicking along just the way that they should. That is when we are singing our praises and shouting our hosannas. And then there are other times in our lives when our tune shifts a bit, when our commitment and our trust dissipates. Often this occurs when we face a setback in life. We cry out, "How could you?" When we face trials and tribulations that threaten our sense of stability or our livelihood, that is when we revoke our commitment and trust, and our faith wavers as the fears of this world creep in. That is precisely what happened with those crowds from our passage this morning. Those masses of people who gathered to greet Christ and to praise him, they had no problem shouting their hosannas and waving their palms when everything was going well and when it was a time of celebration. But as soon as they faced a setback, when Christ was presented to the council, when he prepared for crucifixion, they denounced him. They revoked their trust and their commitment as they shouted, "Crucify him." Some of us may find ourselves be part of those crowds where some days we are praising Christ with our palms, and other days we find ourselves revoking our commitment and our trust when times get tough. But regardless of what we face in life, we are called to possess an unwavering faith, placing our full trust and commitment in him at all times, not just during the times of celebration. The baseball player Lou Gehrig, took the microphone at Yankee Stadium in 1939 to announce his retirement because of a wasting disease that called ALS, which we now refer to as Lou Gehrig's disease. He was a young major league record holder, but within 2 years he became paralyzed and he died. When Lou Gehrig took the microphone that day, what he said to the Yankee fans was, "I'm grateful for my life, for baseball, for my family. I consider myself to be the luckiest man on the face of this earth." Jim Kelly, a name who I'm sure most of you recognize, is the Hall of Fame quarterback who played for the Buffalo Bills until 1996. Jim Kelly turned to Christianity when his marriage was failing. His faith never wavered when he lost his son in 2005, and his level of trust and commitment in Christ never dissipated when he faced cancer twice. Jim Kelly stated during an interview, "There is no way I'd be here without my faith. It has been such a roller coaster. So many things. The Super Bowl losses, my son being born sick and then dying, 2 plates and 10 screws in my back after major surgery, 1 plate and 6 screws in my neck after another surgery, a double hernia, the cancer, surgery on my jaw, and then cancer again." The story of Jim Kelly's second bout of cancer was much more serious and much more complicated. Doctors removed the cancerous part of his upper jaw. They made a prosthesis of 6 fake teeth and bone, and they fastened it into the hole that was left in the roof of his mouth in the surgery. They grafted a rectangle of skin from his upper left leg, and they placed it in the roof of his mouth. The prosthesis worked as a giant retainer that Jim Kelly could take out whenever he needed to. Kelly later stated in that same interview, "I guarantee the normal person wouldn't have been able to take it. Some days I don't know how I did. I complained about my headaches for months. I would just look up to the Lord and I would say, 'I give. Uncle, you got me.' But now this is just another river to cross, and we'll keep fighting. Everything I did in life, everything that I've gone through, I never did it alone. It is all in the Lord's hands." Jim Kelly was in agonizing pain throughout that second bout of cancer, and his faith never wavered. Throughout all the events of his life, all of the trials and the tribulations and the setbacks, his level of commitment and trust in Christ never dissipated. Today, as we recount the events that occurred on Palm Sunday many, many centuries ago, it is a time of joyful celebration, which takes place under the shadow of death. We know that the crowds who shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," later denounced him as they shouted, "Crucify him." We are not too vastly different from those people that were in those crowds. We all have our days when we are singing our praises to Christ, and then we later reject him as our level of commitment and trust dissipates. Following our worship service this morning, everyone is invited and encouraged to come forward and to take a palm from these arrangements up here. And as you leave here with your palm, I encourage you to think about those times in your life when your faith has wavered, to reflect on those events when your level of faith and your commitment and your trust in Christ did dissipate. May this Palm Sunday generate a new level of commitment and trust from each of us. May we all lay down the palms of our lives and fully invest in Christ throughout all the events of life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.